Amen. We sit for the first reading.
This morning's reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and it's the first four verses. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we stand for our gospel reading? This is from Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Father God, as we explore these words today, will you bring them to life as you fill us with the Holy Spirit? Will you speak to us and change us in Jesus' name? Amen. Please do have a seat. We're putting our normal lectionary readings on pause today, just for 1 week, to give us an opportunity to think about a theme instead. And that theme is the Bible. And those of you who've already looked at the back page of your notice sheet might be thinking this is just a cunning ruse to have a very long plug for the Bible course, and you'd be entirely correct. That is what we're doing this morning. We're thinking about the Bible because it's my conviction that Christians should be aiming to read the Bible every day. That's where we should be aiming to reach for. And I have a feeling that when I say that, and as I look around now, I can see it, it's a little bit like saying to people, it would be really good to have a high-fiber diet. You know, it's the sort of thing which we know would be good for us. We sort of feel like we ought to, but it doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Yeah, so what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to give you three ideas that I hope will get you a bit more excited about reading the Bible as we start to realize what the Bible is and why it's important. And then I'm going to give you a tool, an opportunity to really start being committed to reading the Bible for yourself. So three things to get you excited about the Bible. The first thing is it's full of stories. I mean, who doesn't like a good story? And it's absolutely chocker full of stories. I think we have this idea that the Bible is mainly full of rules, mainly full of, you know, serious guidance and often things that we shouldn't do. Sometimes you see those sorts of Bibles that have got an index at the back where it says, you know, if you're concerned about anger, read this passage. If your car has just failed its MOT, read this passage. You know, and people have this idea that it's a sort of manual for life. But actually, the Bible, when you open it and start reading it, you realize it is just full of lots and lots of stories. There are dozens and dozens of them. Sometimes on the Alpha course, I say to people, just flick through and open it somewhere and have a look what it is, because more likely than not, it's going to be a story. And there's all sorts of stories. There's adventure stories, there's histories, there's biographies, there's romances. There's all sorts of exciting stuff in there to read. And just like the very best dramas and box sets, once you move through the episodes, you begin to realize that there's a much bigger story going on. That all of these little stories are held together by a great big story, all about a God who made the world and everything in it, the whole universe, and he has a purpose for it. He has an eternal destiny for it. And he is working already to save it, to rescue it from everything that has gone wrong, so that we can spend an eternity with him. It's a huge, great big story that begins right at the beginning of Genesis and is concluded as we look ahead right at the end of Revelation. So here is a great big book of stories. Why don't we start reading some of these stories? If that doesn't get you excited enough about the Bible, here's another reason to be excited about it. The Bible is not just full of stories, it is an anchor for life. It's an anchor for life. The Bible performs this remarkable role in our lives of keeping us anchored into God's will for our lives. If you want to know what a great life looks like, if you want to know what it looks like to live really well, it's all here in this book. And it's really important to read it because, I don't know if you've noticed this, people are really good at doing all sorts of crazy things instead. In fact, whole societies and cultures and periods of history are full of people doing crazy things. So have you noticed, for instance, that the Romans, who were, you know, very clever, who'd built a very sophisticated society, who wrote all sorts of amazing philosophy and literature, thought it was completely fine and okay to go to a huge football stadium and watch people fight to the death? Have you noticed that the Greeks at around about the same time thought it was entirely acceptable to be wildly sexually promiscuous with men and women, and that was fine as long as you were doing your procreation bit at home? In fact, you were even allowed to do it in the temple. Have you ever noticed that there have been whole cultures where it was considered okay not just to fight your enemies, but to kill them and even to eat them? Have you noticed that people have seriously believed that it was wrong to help poor people because it would make them lazy? Have you thought about the fact that Victorians thought it was probably best to let somebody else raise your children? These things, now we look at them and we go, what's the matter with you? How could you possibly have thought that that would be okay? But this is what happens to us as human beings. Because we are very sociable, we live in societies and in groups, we also become blinkered to things. I am sure that there are things going on now in our society which later generations will think were completely crazy, were not a good way to live at all. And they're probably things that if you raised them now and you said, guys, I'm not sure this is really okay, you might well be being accused of being very backwards, or a bit of a bigot, or a bit intolerant. So how do we keep ourselves anchored in a true, good, holy way to live? By reading this book. We will be blind to all of those crazy suggestions around us if other people are doing it. We will be blind to them unless we keep ourselves anchored in God's holy way of living, as revealed in the Bible. So the Bible is full of stories, and who doesn't like stories? It's an anchor point for our lives so that we know how to live really well. And finally, and if this one doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. It's the main way that God speaks to us. It's the main way that God speaks to us. You see, God isn't a God who tries to hide. He's not a God who is hard to find. He is a God who is wanting to reveal himself to us. And the main way he reveals himself to us is Jesus. Aha, you thought I was going to say Bible, didn't you? No, the main way he reveals himself to us is through Jesus. That's what Hebrews says. He says that Jesus is the reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being. That exact imprint word there is a bit like a stamp, you know, an old-fashioned stamp with a pad. It's that idea that Jesus is so perfectly revealing to us God. It's just like a print of what's going on in heaven here on earth for us. But how do we know about Jesus? How do we know about Jesus? Because we read the book. We read the book that is all about him. The Old Testament that looks forward to him, the New Testament that explains how he's come and been with us, and how that his spirit is continuing to live amongst us, and how he is coming again. This is a book all about Jesus. And when you read it, God speaks. I've been in the habit of reading this book pretty much every day for quite a while now, and I've been right through it from cover to cover a few times. But I still have that experience of getting to passages and thinking, I don't remember ever reading this before. In fact, I'm not sure it was here last year. I think somebody's put it in. Because when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of Jesus is upon us, when we're reading this scripture, it comes to life in our hands. We suddenly discover this extraordinary experience of reading something written sometimes thousands of years ago, and it being directly relevant to us right here and right now. We hear God calling us, or reassuring us, or comforting us, or adjusting our perspective. We find that the God of heaven and earth is speaking to us right here and now. And it's all about this book. It's all about really immersing ourselves in it. That's why I put myself out to make sure I'm reading this every day, because I believe that when I do that, God speaks to me. And I really love that. So there's three great reasons to read the Bible, because it's a story, because it will anchor your life in God's way of living, because God will speak to you through it. And I know that it's a big book, and I know that sometimes you have chapters and chapters of lists of names. So how are you going to get started? I've got some good news for you. If you're in a home group, then you may already have started, or you might be about to start in the next few weeks, the Bible course from the Bible Society. It's a brand new, fresh course. It's got videos to introduce a topic, space to discuss it, some notes, a manual with a place for you to make your own notes, and a little Bible reading scheme to get you started. We've got a little video, actually, to show you what it looks like. So, Alex, would you like to play that now?
The Bible course is an accessible way for anyone to explore the world's bestseller. Because the Bible is a big book, it can be hard to know where to start. So the Bible course gives the big picture, showing how all of the events, books, and characters fit together to form one incredible story. Whether you are new to the Christian faith or just want to find out more, the Bible course is for you. Filmed on location and in a purpose-built studio, the Bible course consists of 8 interactive sessions through the whole Bible story, from the first book, Genesis, to the last book, Revelation. Each session combines video teaching, group discussion, personal reflection, and daily readings. Bring God's Word to life by running the Bible course in your setting.
So if you're already in a home group, that's what you're going to be doing. If you're not in a home group, I would hate for you to miss out. So we're putting on special groups just to do the Bible course between now and Easter. And if you'd like to join a group like that, have a word with me afterwards, or drop your name into the office, or drop them an email, and we will put you together with other people who just want to do the Bible course between now and Easter. I'm really excited about this. I think this could be a really significant thing for our church. It could be probably the most important thing that we do this year, because I'm convinced that when Christians start to take this book really seriously, start to read it with the authority that God has given it, and start to listen to what he's saying in our lives, it will change us, and it will change our church, and it will change our community. So shall we pray for God's power to be in this course and on us? Father God, thank you that you are a God who reveals yourself to us. Thank you that you have revealed yourself supremely in Jesus. And thank you for this book that points to Jesus and teaches us about him. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we reach towards this book and start to try and make it part of our routine and our lives, that you will be speaking and changing us with power. In Jesus' name. Amen.